Ladies and gentlemen, the third and final task of the Triwizard Tournament is about to begin. Let me remind you how the points currently stand. Tied in first place with 85 points each, Mr. Cedric Diggory and Mr. Harry Potter, both of Hogwarts School.
The cheers and applause sent birds from the Forbidden Forest fluttering into the darkening sky.
In second place, with 80 points, Mr. Victor Crumb of Durmstrang Institute.
More applause.
And in third place, Miss Fleur Delacour of Beauxbatons Academy.
Harry could just make out Mrs. Weasley, Bill, Ron and Hermione applauding Fleur politely halfway up the stands. He waved up at them, and they waved back, beaming at him.
"So, on my whistle, Harry and Cedric," said Bagman. 3, 2, 1.
He gave a short blast on his whistle, and Harry and Cedric hurried forward into the maze. The towering hedges cast black shadows across the path, and whether because they were so tall and thick, or because they had been enchanted, the sound of the surrounding crowd was silenced the moment they entered the maze. Harry felt almost as though he were under water again. He pulled out his wand, muttered,
"Lumos!"
and heard Cedric do the same just behind him. After about 50 yards, they reached a fork. They looked at each other. "See you," Harry said, and he took the left one, while Cedric took the right. Harry heard Bagman's whistle for the second time. Crumb had entered the maze. Harry sped up. His chosen path seemed completely deserted. He turned right and hurried on, holding his wand high over his head, trying to see as far ahead as possible. Still, there was nothing in sight. Bagman's whistle blew in the distance for the third time. All of the champions were now inside. Harry kept looking behind him. The old feeling that he was being watched was upon him. The maze was growing darker with every passing minute as the sky overhead deepened to navy. He reached a second fork.
"Point me,"
he whispered to his wand, holding it flat in his palm. The wand spun around once and pointed toward his right. Into solid hedge. That way was north, and he knew that he needed to go northwest for the centre of the maze. The best he could do was to take the left fork and go right again as soon as possible. The path ahead was empty too, and when Harry reached a right turn and took it, he again found his way unblocked. Harry didn't know why, but the lack of obstacles was unnerving him. Surely he should have met something by now. It felt as though the maze were luring him into a false sense of security. Then he heard movement right behind him. He held out his wand, ready to attack, but its beam fell only upon Cedric, who had just hurried out of a path on the right-hand side. Cedric looked severely shaken. The sleeve of his robe was smoking.
"Hagrid's blast ended Scroots," he hissed. "They're enormous. I only just got away."
He shook his head and dived out of sight along another path. Keen to put plenty of distance between himself and the Scroots, Harry hurried off again. Then, as he turned a corner, he saw a Dementor gliding toward him. 12 feet tall, its face hidden by its hood, its rotting scabbed hands outstretched, it advanced, sensing its way blindly toward him. Harry could hear its rattling breath. He felt clammy coldness stealing over him, but knew what he had to do. He summoned the happiest thought he could, concentrated with all his might on the thought of getting out of the maze and celebrating with Ron and Hermione, raised his wand and cried, "Expecto Patronum!" A silver stag erupted from the end of Harry's wand and galloped toward the Dementor, which fell back and tripped over the hem of its robes. Harry had never seen a Dementor stumble.
"Hang on,"
he shouted, advancing in the wake of his silver Patronus.
"You're a boggart! Ridiculous!"
There was a loud crack, and the shape-shifter exploded in a wisp of smoke. The silver stag faded from sight. Harry wished it could have stayed. He could have used some company. But he moved on, quickly and quietly as possible, listening hard, his wand held high once more. Left, right, left again. Twice he found himself facing dead ends. He did the 4-point spell again and found that he was going too far east. He turned back, took a right turn, and saw an odd golden mist floating ahead of him.